Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour back in our Father's Word, Book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is Latin, and the real name in the Hebrew is preacher, which is Kohelet. And what this sets up, it tells you how to be happy in these flesh bodies by the time it's over with. It's written to the man that walks under the sun. That means a flesh man on earth. How to be content, how to find happiness. And naturally, Solomon is saying here, hey, I was a king. I had everything. And I worked and had servants that worked. And I still, there was something missing. And naturally, if you don't realize you have two bodies. You have a flesh body and a spiritual body. 1 Corinthians 15:44 will document that for you. So this kind of, if you look at it like the pessimist and the optimist, it'll bring you out. But with that having been said, it's pretty well self-explanatory. He said, I've got everything, but without God, I've got nothing. Okay. Well, that's kind of the way you are even. There's nothing new under the sun. That's the point. So that was the way, that's how it will leave you even today. Chapter 2, verse 13, the great book of Ecclesiastes. Let's go with it. It reads, Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly. Folly is foolishness. Okay. As far as light excelleth darkness. In other words, foolishness is not going to get you anywhere. Verse 14, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceive also that one event happeneth to them all. Whether you're a fool or whether you're a wise man, we all die. It happens when to the flesh body. This is why, basically, being an optimist, you want to look past the flesh. You want to look past your life here in a flesh body to the eternity. And that is the light. That's following the light. Verse 15, Then said I in my heart, As it happeneth to a fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity. Whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're wise, or whether you're a fool, you're going to die. Now, a pessimist would say, Jan, that's right, and it might really take you down. But the optimist must look at eternal life. Life only begins at death. And that's what our Father wants you to gain from this. That don't let your flesh body rule you. Have your spiritual body and mind rule you. It's the difference between light and darkness. Verse 16. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten, and how dieth the wise man as the fool. In other words, whether you're a fool or a wise man, we're all going to kick the bucket. So you better not hang all your marbles, so to speak, if you'll allow me, on flesh bodies. But it is pretty temporal. Not going to last all that long. So you want to look to your soul and look further. Look to our Father who promises eternal life. Look to the Savior who defeated death on the cross, whereby you step from this flesh body into that spiritual body. 17. Therefore, I hated life. I was uneasy with it. Unsatisfied. Because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for All is vanity and vexation of spirit. Never keep a job you're not happy with. Okay. Always be happy with what you're doing. Life is short. It's too short to have a job you don't enjoy. You can't at all. So that's grievous, and it is vexation. Verse 18, yea, I hated, or I was very uncomfortable with all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. I won't have any choice. Will he be a fool and blow it all, or what will happen? Okay. It's you're out of the picture. Verse 19, and who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Even though I've been wise, and if you remember from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 15, God gave this man a blessing, Solomon, because Solomon asked for something for the people, not for himself. And it pleased God, and God gave him the wisdom. And he doesn't mind sharing that wisdom with us. But he was also promised and became very wealthy. And he said, if a fool gets it, it's emptiness. Verse 20, therefore, I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. Now, that's not something you need to do. Always be happy with what you accomplish, but be an optimist and look further. Look to our Heavenly Father and His promises. And not only that, His gifts. Verse 21, and there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity, doing what's right. Yet to a man that hath not labored, therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. A tumult rather than evil would be a better translation. In other words, you don't have that much choice, that all that you work for, once you die, it goes to somebody else. And certainly, as far as you're concerned, if you had to depend on that alone, your life would end at death. But for the Christian, life only begins at death. That is to say, the eternal stretch. 22, for what hath man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? As he did it right under the sun. 23, for all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. That is also vanity. If you let worry overtake you, and all you can think about is, oh, you're a worry wart. Everything, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. Well, you never worry about your labors. Be happy with what you accomplish. None of us are perfect, and sometimes things go wrong. But that has very little to do with your eternal outcome. So why would you worry about it? Instead of worry, fix it, okay? That's the way you get ahead. Instead of being all troubled and worry, fix it. Fix the problem. Verse 24. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul, now here we're getting down to the nitty-gritty, all right, should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. And God here is Ha Elohim, meaning the true God. That's when you turn your soul over to Him, when you listen to Him, and when you place your trust in Him, then you can enjoy life. It puts a whole different slant on life with hope and without hope. So hope makes a big difference, and it is that hope of eternal life that is the most complete thing. So finally, it takes two chapters and almost to the end of the second before your soul, eternal life, is brought into this. And he makes it very clear. As I quoted earlier, 1 Kings 3, verses 5 through 15, that's why he can say the true God, because God spoke to him and promised him exactly what would happen. And that's why he could truthfully say the true God. Verse 25. For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? I'm the king. 26. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail. Now you can count on that. Together and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of the Spirit. It is for the sinner, not for the man that follows God. But for the sinner, he can work all he wants to. But without God, if you go against him, it all comes to naught. It's a big, healthy zero, and you're going nowhere. So finally, at the end of the second chapter, we come to the fact that if you serve God, it throws a whole different light on the vanity. But if you're still a sinner, it's still vexation. You're not going anywhere. That is the greatest gift God gives to man, is peace of mind. And you can only gain peace of mind because from the Prince of Peace. Because he gives you eternal life. He paid the price for you. And that eternal life is available. And your soul, your spiritual body has eternal life. But for a sinner, again, it's vexation. Now, I want you to begin to divide the difference. As we closed chapter 1, he said wisdom is vexation. What wisdom was he talking about? Street smarts. Wisdom of the world, not of heaven. Here, as we close 2, we're talking about wisdom from God that is eternal. All wisdom, as a matter of fact, you can read it in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom is to understand the teachings of Almighty God. That's the beginning, is to serve Him and study His teachings. They will lead you away from tumult, that's to say worry, where you don't have to worry about things because God's on the throne and you're His child. He's going to take care of you. So there you have it. And the way to not be a pessimist is to love our Father, the true God. And naturally, Yahweh being His name. Chapter 3 is an interesting chapter. You're going to have 14 lines here. And each line will have two opposites opposing, just about. You can make up your own mind. Okay, it leaves that to you. Do you want to be blessed or not? That's basically what it comes down to. So, and it has to do with age, okay? The age. So here we go with chapter 3, verse 1. to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Now, and this is true. Everything in its own season. And understanding the seasons of God and the world ages is very important, because the world ages will work into this. There are so few that do not realize there was an earth age before this one. And that clarifies many things that happen in this one. And the beauty of looking forward to the one that's coming, the three separate earth ages, everything has a time and a season. Don't push it. Don't get in a hurry. God's on the throne. He pushes the switches, and so it is. Verse 2, as we read, excuse me, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Harvest will always come. But it is a season that everyone can look forward to be born, not as the fallen angels who refused to be born of woman and left their place of habitation, as the book of Jude so declares, right before the book of Revelation, and it brought damnation upon them. But the natural birth, that's the way to be. Verse 3, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. Now, let's do a little work on that, because many people would translate this murder. There's never a time for murder. Okay. That's a lawbreaker. It's out of season. It is a crime. So the word kill here, you're not going to understand it if you don't realize it means judicially. In other words, if somebody murders somebody judicially, you're supposed to put them away. And as it is written in Deuteronomy 19 and Numbers 35, you're not to feel bad for them or guilt. God will take all the guilt, and others will see, and these things will cease happening among you. You do it publicly. So it means to kill judicially. Now, at the same time, many people put it on our troops. You're not supposed to kill. No, there's a time for it. Have you ever read Psalms 144? Lord, it's a soldier's prayer. Give me strength in my arm to overcome the enemy and put my foot on his neck, ultimately, which means to take over. So here we have this one, a time and a season. A season to take care of criminals, and a time to heal. Those that have lost loved ones, give them that time of healing. And a time to break down when bad things happen, and a time to build up. It's going to encourage you. And so it is. Verse 4, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And the happy times come when one takes the line of optimist, and knows that our Father's on the throne. And you know when to dance, and you know when to mourn. Mourn for our people that are misled. It's God's children. They're not being taught the truth in many cases. And we can even weep about that. And then there comes a time to laugh. You bet. Always enjoy yourself. Have a sense of humor. There's no sin in having a sense of humor. And never let your humor be injurious to anyone. And then it becomes a time to laugh. Verse 5. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. Now, here we go with clearing a field. There's a time that when you you're going to cultivate this field, you cast the stones out of the field. Remove them. But then there comes a time then that you can take those stones and build a house or a barn. A good one. And that, therefore, a time and a season which all this basically is common sense. And a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. This you find in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 5 through 8. What it says there, Paul said, if you're going to teach the ministry, it's better you stay like I do, unmarried. Because you're going to be traveling at this time, they had to travel a lot. They were away from home. But if not, it is better to marry than to burn. And a lot of people think that means burn in hell. No, it means burn with passion. In other words, never leave home. And I'm quoting from 1 Corinthians 7. Never leave home or leave your wife or mate, husband, whichever the case may be, without an understanding that you can both make it fine. That you're, everything is cool. And so that's part of a time to embrace and a time not to. Okay. Verse 6, a time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. There is a time to buy and there is a time to sell. And so it is. You naturally, you buy by using wisdom of the world, and you buy when things are easier obtained, sales, what have you, times. And to lose, there's going to be some of that that won't be so pleasant. But it does happen. So, and a time to keep and a time to cast away, meaning you want to keep what you have, but there comes a time when it's best to get rid of it. Verse 7, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Now, to rend here means to, as weeping was done in the times of the old, was to rend your clothes and weep. And there would be a time that you had much grief and you could rend your garment. But then there was a time to sew it back up and to heal from it, understanding Almighty God is still on the throne. Almighty God is still in control. And He will lead you. And so it is. And a time to be silent and a time to speak is before you speak to help someone, find out what the trouble is. Okay. You don't have anything to say. It's best to keep silence when you don't know what a person's problem is and they're asking you for help. Be calm and quiet until you hear what the problem is. And after you understand that and can make a deduction or a helpful solution, then it's time to speak. But don't be a ratchet jaw, in other words. Know what you're talking about and let it count. Verse 8, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. And it is true that the time to love and the time to hate are to, it's going to happen among nations, and it has since the beginning of time. And a time for war and a time for peace. And many would say, well, I didn't know God approved of war. No, he expects you to protect the children. He expects you to keep a situation whereby you are free to worship Him, and you don't let anyone take those freedoms away. That's very important. That's what our nation here is based upon. And as we go all the way around the world, many other nations. But on an individual basis, you protect that. And as I quoted earlier, a time for war, Psalms 144 makes it very clear. It's a war, as I said, a warrior's prayer. Father, help me strengthen my arms where I can do the enemy in. Verse 9. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? Verse 10. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. I've watched these businesses. That's what he means, the travail, is the businesses. I've seen the businesses. I know how they work. I know how to buy. I know how to sell. But what he's saying is, if you, in exercising it, you always improve in the business, keep a cool head, and it does not become vanity and it is not travail. It's knowing your business. Never go into a business that you do not know how to operate it and run it and do everything in it, or you will be amiss. Always learn the business from the ground up so that you can replace any element in your company yourself and get a good job done. So that's what you do. Look the businesses over before you ever participate. Verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Now, I want you, this word world won't carry, okay? The word in the Hebrew is ages, along. It doesn't mean terra firma or erect, earth, soil. It means earth age. But a time and a season, that being the subject. Father knows the beginning from the end. And in studying his word, you can pick up at least on the seasons. And that's why he's telling you here. There's a time and a season for everything. And he gives us certain things for seasons. He gives us equinox for a time of planting and knowing the seasons so that you can grow agriculture properly, or to do this properly or that properly in its own season and in its own time. But naturally what this verse implies to is knowing the difference between the first earth age, this particular one, and the one coming. All three of them. God knows the beginning and the ending of each one of them. So that's why you study God's word, so that you're not caught off center. Verse 12. I know that there is no good in them but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. That's what you make out of it. And if you stay with our Father and stay with his times and seasons, you're going to rejoice and you're going to do good in your life. It's that simple. There's no need to be in the unknown, dashing around, not having a clue. When God sends you the plan of the day, that is to say, the times and the seasons. Verse 13. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. In other words, when you work, do you understand that your work is the only thing you can take with you to heaven? Revelation chapter 13, chapter 14, verse 13, is labor is the only thing you can take with you, your work, your good works. But God wants you to be happy. This is why I said earlier, find a job that you enjoy doing. If you hate the work that you have to do to sustain yourself, think about making a change. I know it's difficult at times, but then you find happiness. That's the gift from God, is that you find that and that you enjoy it. 14, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. That they should revere. This word in the Hebrew means to revere or fear, either way. But his majesty, how can you help it? But the beauty and the wonder, because it's his gift to man. You know, he created you as his child, and he wants his children to be happy. But if you don't listen to him, if you leave he out of the equation of your life, then you miss the whole boat. You miss everything that is good, basically, or you may have a good time for a while. It'll catch up with you. But in serving him, it stays, it's forever. And that's why you don't want to miss that. Times and seasons. 14 lines, 2 to the line. And there you have it. But ultimately, the outcome is the same. God knows the times and seasons, and he makes it good for those that love and follow him. It's his gift to you. That's why he created your soul. He wants you to be happy. And he gets no pleasure from having to correct people. It's discipline. But he will do it if it'll bring you back to the truth and to the blessings of the living God. All right, don't miss the next lecture. Listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the mark of the beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, and all over Canada. If you have a question, present it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend or denomination, or organization.
Telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, and all over Canada. If you have a question, present it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend or denomination or organization. We will not judge people. But God is judge. We have the gift of spiritual discernment. where you know what's right and you know what's wrong. Always stick with that spiritual discernment. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. And your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Always a pleasure. Got a prayer request? You don't need that number. You don't need an address. Why? He knows what you're thinking right now. And what he wants from you is your love. I don't care where you are around this globe. If you're talking to him, you don't even have to say it out loud. He hears you. He's the one that created your soul. He made it different than anyone else's. Your DNA is different. Fingerprints different. Because he wanted somebody just like you, unique. But he wants you to love him. And when blessings begin to flow in your life, it's when you unashamedly let him know you love him. Okay, let's tell him that. Father, we come to your throne. We love you. We ask your guidance. You lead, Father, and touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. Terry from Missouri, where is this nation going to end up? Will we get back on our feet, or will we be obliterated? I think that's what you got there, due to all the evil in the world. We will always control our gates. This is a blessed nation, and there is nothing can change that. And we have a free nation, and we have a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. So people are the reason things are as they are. So naturally then, well, who must change it? The people. It's that simple. And they shall. We're going to be fine. I've read the back of the book, and it looks pretty good. Charlotte from Louisiana. Pastor Murray, I watch you every morning on a certain channel. I'm very confused because I heard, now you got another minister's name here, and his son, who's an ex, and some person that's an ex-KKK member, said on T2 channel that Pastor Murray is a white supremacist. Is that true? You know, everything I do is broadcast. Surely, you can judge by what I say whether I am or not. God loves all of his children. And this Shepherd's Chapel has people of all races that come to it. Why? The Word of God. Because it is God's Word. Now, I won't mention these people's name. I would be very disappointed if they were to listen to bad information, especially if my reputation was what his is, in fact. So, but we leave God to judge, period. But I have never been and never will be. The only thing I'm extreme about is loving the Lord Jesus Christ and teaching his word. That you can call me an extremist. I'm an extremist preacher, okay, and enjoy every minute of it. Mary from Wisconsin. I have a sister that was murdered 30 years ago at the age of 15. I still cannot get over it. It was a brutal murder. What scriptures can help me to find peace? Thank you. Well, you know, I know it's hard, but there's a time and a season. And your season has come. It's time. I want you to make a note of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, where God will never put anything on you that you can't handle, you can bear. And he will always show you a way through. But talk to him. That's all you've got to do. Just talk to him. And ask him to alleviate your hurt. And pray for your sister, that she's, because she's fine. Paul from Washington. When Cain went to marry, who did he marry? Was that his sister? No. God created all of the races on the sixth day. And he created on the eighth day Eth-Ha-Adam. And then Cain came into being. But as you can read in the great book of Genesis, he went to the land of Nod and took a wife. It was not his sister. And from the six-day creation, which God created all the peoples on the sixth day and looked, and it was good. He's real happy with it. Diane from Georgia, are there different levels of heaven that we go to when we die? Absolutely, that's not a good teaching. Okay, what draws people away into thinking there are different levels is there are different ages. I would recommend that you read 2 Peter chapter 3, which tells you that scoffers will come in the end, and they won't know about the first earth age that was destroyed by water. Not Noah's flood, but the Ketubah, the big overthrow. And then that this second earth age, the elements or rudiments will be destroyed by fire. Everything that is evil, it's gone. And then comes in after a short period, which if you call the Lord's Day that, 1,000 years, comes the eternity. It's a beautiful thing. But there are no levels in heaven. Now, in paradise, you do have a gulf in the center of it, as Luke 16 declares. And some people make it, and some people haven't. They are judged from the book of life. But there's still the millennium coming. A lot that didn't make it never had an opportunity to know truth. And God loves his children enough that we're going to do it on the Lord's Day. Elizabeth's from California. When the fallen angels come down, do they rape our people? What teachings do you have on this? Well, I think I have a work titled The Fallen Angels, but your answer lies in Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus made it very clear. You know, in Matthew 24, Jesus gives you seven things. They're the seven trumps. They're the seven seals. They're the seven vials, basically. Well, maybe not the vials, but part of them. But all those things that happen at the close are reported in that particular chapter, 24. What did he say about Noah's time? He said, when I come back, and it's the end, it's going to be just like it was in Noah's time. They're going to be giving and taking in marriage to who? Fallen angels. But they do not have to force them. They will deceive people. You see, Satan himself, as the false Christ, is supernatural. As it's written in Revelation 13, he can snap his fingers and lightning, phos, comes down from heaven. I mean, that's pretty impressive. And if you don't know the false one's coming first, you're in a heap of hurt, okay? Because they are very deceptive. So Matthew 24 will answer that for you. Pat from Mississippi. I have read the Bible through 7 times and also taken a college course on it. How could I have missed so much? Well, Pat, thanks for being with us. We enjoy studying God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Thank you for being with us. Mary from California. Do you need to be completely submerged in water in order to be baptized? Well, the word itself explains that. The word itself is to, it comes from the root, the etymology of dyeing a piece of cloth. In other words, excuse me, if you have a piece of white material and you put red dye in the water, if you just sprinkle it, it's speckled. But baptized means to dipped. totally submerged, it's where the dye is saturated and you become a new creature. That's the etymology of the word itself, which pretty well explains baptism. Melinda from Florida, what do I need to do to get healing from God? Well, have you asked him? First of all, what does it say in James chapter 5? It says you're to anoint yourself or to the elders, if you have some in the area, a believer. Anoint yourself with the oil of our people. That oil is Eliyah, which means olive oil. And anoint yourself and ask him, if it be his will, you wish healing. You see, our Father's on the throne. He has a reason and a purpose for everything. If you've been praying for healing and it hadn't come, then do that by all means. Do it his way is what I'm saying. So many people want a healing and God will heal them, and they'll go right back to eating poison food and scavengers and things that will make you sick. So therefore, God's a little particular. If he's going to heal somebody, he wants them to practice health laws, and if you would. Okay, it's a great help. This would be Eloise from Louisiana. I know you don't judge, but if a man says that he's a prophet and he's to send him money, I will receive a certain thing, and it never happened. Should I keep on sending him money when he asked me to? He said that if I send him $25, that I would receive $2,500. And it hasn't come back to pass yet. He gave me a specific timing. The timing has expired. He also told me that I would have the best Christmas, and that wasn't true. Although I'm grateful, anyhow, for the Lord's blessing me, my family's life, health, and strength. Eloise, God doesn't send out beggars. And God doesn't sell favors. It's free. Healing is free. And his blessings, like today we're reading the wisdom of how to get ahead. That's how you get ahead. But God told the disciples when he sent them out, don't you take a script or a purse. That means a begging bag. Don't you ever beg if you're representing God. Because God will take care of everything else. You don't have to worry about it. So he's a fake. I'm not judging him. It's just by God's word, you've been helping out some fake. A real man of God is never going to write you a letter asking for money. That is crude, ridiculous, and is not of God. I hope that answers your question. And naturally, whether you should send more, don't, if you want God's blessings. Carly from Florida, I heard you say today that Antichrist is only going to be here 5 months. I am confused. I thought he was going to be here 7 years. Can you please explain this further? Mark chapter 13, Christ promises he will shorten the time for the elect's sake. After the Antichrist appears, or no flesh would be saved. So then when you study the great book of Revelation, he tells you there in the fifth trump, which is the trump of learning, exactly what Satan's name, he says it both in Hebrew and Greek, Apollyon and Abaddon, which is Satan's name, that he will only have 5 months, a 5 month period. And that makes it very clear and easily understood. Terry from Ohio, are there only going to be 7,000 very elect that face Satan and then 144,000 follow the 7,000? What happens to everyone else? Well, read Revelation chapter 7, where the 144,000 are kind of picked. First, he says in the beginning of the chapter, don't let the end come until we've sealed these. And then he said, who is this over here under the altar? There are hundreds of thousands on top of thousands that have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb that have overcome. So they made it. So all we're talking about in the God's elect are those even from the first earth age. People that God can use. He can even interfere in their lives to make them do what he is necessary to bring the scripture to pass in teaching and many other things. And on judgment day, if you were chosen in the first earth age, you're not going to say to him, why did you do that to me? Because you know. But if God interfered in a life of someone that has free will, didn't make it in the first earth age, and forced them to do something, they could blame him for interfering in their life. He won't do that. The only way he will touch a free will person is if they ask. It's called prayer. And therefore he would. Jennifer from Pennsylvania. If one-third of God's souls followed Satan and then were born through woman, does that mean that we, as humans on earth, were part of the one-third that followed Satan? No, not necessarily. Not if you enjoy God's word, you're probably one of God's elect. If you know the Antichrist comes first, before the true Christ does, and that you have to stand against him, the odds are very good that you are one of God's elect. And so, therefore, one-third, I do feel this. I feel that the third that disobeyed God in the first earth age and followed Satan will be living today when the Antichrist comes. I feel that is why you see so much evil in the world today. Because you've got quite a group that has happened since the parable of the fig tree began in 1948. And a person that has lived that, I can tell you that people do not act or interact the way they did in 1948. You know, young people, we were trained that if an elderly person is coming up to a door, you open that door for them. And you stand back out of the way. You assist them. And today, if you're not, there are still some good young people. But the majority will run over you if you're not careful. So it's a different, seems like they're different spirits. And certainly, but they will have an opportunity to accept Christ and be in that winning frame. Diane from Massachusetts. How does God want us to react as to how our government is going? Well, I think I answered that earlier. We have a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. People handle it. Okay? Eloise from Oregon. In Psalms 90, verse 10, what does the flying away mean? Is this a rapture? Also, I don't want to be kept alive by machines. Is this okay? It's natural. So naturally, it's okay. You need to write a living will where people know, though. What it's saying is when you do die, your soul, spirit, body, and you'll find in this book of Ecclesiastes that in chapter 12, verse 6, your spirit, which is the intellect of your soul, flies right back to the Father from which it came. It's not the rapture. Okay, Larry from Virginia. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 38, Christ said, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Was Christ talking about marriage between a man and a woman, or was he talking about something else? He was talking about just like it was in the days of Noah. What were they doing? Noah's family is the only family that had a perfect generation, which means they had mixed with the fallen angels and were suitable to bring Messiah through. So it means just exactly what it says. Michael, as it is written in Revelation chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, will kick Satan and all of his fallen angels out at the same time. And that's when he comes as the false Messiah. And his Buddy Boys will be right there with him. And we're coming up on that time. We can handle it. And this would be Marvin from Louisiana, an old CB. Salute. Can do. Genesis 1:14-19. Is this the moon and sun? If so, I thought the moon was as old as the earth. Well, again, like today's subject, read that verse again real carefully. Why were they given? The firmament was removed and you could see them. They were there. But they're for signs and seasons. In other words, you know by the moon, you know Satan's schedule, because all prophecies given concerning Satan are in months or moons. Okay. All of God's children, their prophecies are given in days, solar, sunlight. And Revelation 22:15, is this after the white throne judgment? If so, why are there dogs and whoremongers? And well, in that chapter 22, when you get to verse 8, John is taken back to Patmos. In other words, he in chapter 4, verse 1, he was pulled up to heaven to report to us what happened. But he's taken back to Patmos in, after the 8th verse, and that's why they had all the corruption there, because he was back in the year 95 A.D. I'm out of time. Love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word. Most of all, God loves you for it. Makes His day. When you read the letter He has sent to you, you make His day. Boy, is He going to make yours. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Bless God. He will always bless you. But do you know what's most important? It's most important that you stay in His Word. Every day in His Word is a good day, even if with trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus Yeshua, He is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's